Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you can hear me.
Yep.
Unbelievable, this thing. So it wouldn't didn't work in weeks. Yeah, it
Good
does.
luck for me.
Yeah, give me a sec. I'm just going to share this link.
Oh, fucking, you're gonna break it.
Don't say that. And he's, I don't know if Addy was joining us or not. He didn't really say so.
Anyone can just drop in anyway, can't
Yeah, people can just drop in here and do whatever they want to do.
call me racist and then leave again?
That's the only reason they pop in for.
I actually checked the other day. That guy followed us to call me racist and then unfollowed us.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. It's look, I was taking a piss with you, but yeah, no, nah, it's drawing a fucking long bow.
Nah, I don't give a fuck.
Right. That, yeah, drawing a very long bow. Right. Right. What party and who was the other player? I'm trying to think of the other player was.
What?
Oh, that
Oh, Victor
Upamecano,
McCann.
wasn't it? Yeah, long bar, long bar. Those of you who are joining us, you are joining the Clock and Talk podcast, and it's all working well and live, but I'm just sharing to our socials and waiting for a few people to join. But don't worry, if you're just tuning in now and thinking, oh, shit, I've got to listen to this all live, it will be up on your podcast app later in the day.
So as soon as we go live, it straight away goes to like 11 people. There must be robots or something, or there's NAA, or there's just losers that are waiting for us to go live all week and they just sit there looking at the app saying, go live, go live, go live, go live.
I think everyone gets a notification. So if you subscribe to a
Yeah, I
podcast,
do. That's how I know you started it, because I get a notification. But yeah, when there's like six people on, even when you're just there silent,
it's a bit. Oh, I'm gonna have to get. We've got Twitter questions too, haven't we?
no.
So I don't know if Addy.
Good, because NAA is here, so when you can't read his, I'm not going to call it English, but whatever language he usually types in, he can just repeat it in here.
Yeah, cool. He did apologize. It was only one letter. It was meant to be the, but the it come up as the O, which was Theo. So it just completely threw us.
Yeah, but I think it was all in capitals as well, which made it even worse, because then it made it definitely sound like he was typing the name.
Oh, yeah, it was too, I think. Yeah. I'm just looking. I'm sure I threw out questions, right?
Yeah, you did.
Heaps of people.
It should be the top one, actually, because I've not tweeted since.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, cool. I don't know if. Okay, I'll just minimize that for a sec. Right, let's get into this. Shared them on socials. So. Few people have joined, yeah, you're right, 11 people have joined, so I'll just let them boys know on a WhatsApp too,
I was
just in
just going to
case they
say.
want to, yeah, they might be spewing if we don't tell them, and Addy, I'm not sure, MAA, more viewers than Nexus, I don't know, is he still doing his podcast?
I think, oh, he's been tweeting it more and more, so I think he's actually properly trying to do it now rather than doing one every 3 months and claiming that it's the best.
Nah,
I've never listened to a single second, so I can't give any
nah,
feedback.
me over. Nah, funny, funny bugger in here, like the whole Arsenal Twitter world's funny.
Well, all of football Twitter is just, it's nonsense. Like, I actually can't stand it. I don't understand how people do it.
It's just bizarre. Like I don't know, it's like, almost like, oh, do you have a life to live, lads? Or yeah, it's funny.
Did you see
It's real
the
funny.
you wouldn't have seen it, the catfish girl that popped up as a massive Arsenal fan apparently this week. I saw one tweet and I
No.
was like, well, that's a catfish. And she was going for about 3 days and then got exposed. But
It's a
it was,
beard.
you just looked at it and it was like, That is not real.
Nah, never. That's all mine. I don't take much notice. I'm more on Facebook, to be honest. The Twitter doesn't. I jump on for me news and stuff, but just lately when I do jump on, you know, like this week was good because Arsenal won a couple of games. But the week after we lost Man City, oh, unbearable, unbearable. Okay, well, I was waiting for Addy, but doesn't look like he's popping in. So was shared to the socials. We've got a few live listeners right now. So hello and welcome, everybody. Okay, welcome to the Clock End Talk, an Arsenal podcast. You can get us at Twitter at @clockend_talk. We're also on Facebook. That's about it, yeah. we throw out a question thread every week, usually Monday or something, and we record lately on a Tuesday. However, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be here in the next 2 weeks because I'm going away. I'm going on some holidays. So. Oh, mate, MAA Gunner, he's in the chat. Tez has a corona-based cough. Mate, it's like 7:30 in the morning here. Tez has just woke up and rubbed his eyes, and I'm sipping on a cup of coffee. So a bit horsey in the throat at the moment, mate. That's just the usual Tez. Tony, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, it's nice to see your team win football matches occasionally. I'd kind of forgot what it felt like. Everyday life is fine. So, yeah, can't complain too much.
How are you guys coping over there now? Has things started to die down around the coronavirus?
They've eased lockdown. I don't think there's any reason for it. But I think, well, they've eased it because no one was listening anymore. Like, everyone's just bored of it. I don't think anyone's scared of it anymore. When they first started lockdown, everyone was scared of getting it and scared of their family members and whatnot, which is scared is the wrong word because obviously it was a genuine thing. But now people just don't really care anymore. Like, there's only so long you can sit inside doing nothing, not going to work, not doing any of your hobbies. So I think now it's just at the point that everyone is just doing their own thing. And from Saturday, pubs are open again. The only thing that's not open from Saturday, I think, are like gyms and swimming pools, stuff like that. And they're going to be open at some point at the end of July. But they're going to do localized lockdowns if an area has a spike of cases. So apparently Leicester had a spike, so it got locked down last night. I don't know how long for. But again, it's not policed. So, I mean, I'd imagine if I wanted to, I could drive to Leicester now and drive back. But that's apparently it's in lockdown.
Yeah, okay. Now, they opened the, here in Australia, they opened the Queensland border last night. They said they're going to open it as of the 10th of July. So, Island Boy Gooner, I'm heading up your way, buddy. He just said, but Victoria have had some spikes in cases, so they've shut that all down again. And things are slowly getting back, I guess.
I think pretty much most of Europe is opening for the rest of Europe from Saturday. So you can even like go on holiday and shit, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact dates, but I think the exact countries. And it's one of them weird ones that they say it's not open at the moment, but if I wanted to catch a flight to Spain, I could get one. So I don't really know. Yeah. It's like this big significant, oh, it's open now, but I don't think it was ever not open.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's just because we had, and obviously I'll talk about this because it's in everyone's world at the moment, but do you think crowds are going to get back to the Premier League this season at all? Because we had 10,000 turn up at the NRL.
0% no? chance. I mean, they've already given us our money back, and you know football clubs don't do anything for free. So there's only a few weeks left as well, really. I mean, well, it's... What we're at 1st of July in about an hour. And then I think the FA Cup final, I think there's a small chance that the FA Cup final might have like a quarter allocation, maybe. If it's Arsenal-Chelsea, which I don't think it will be, but if it is, then they might go quarter or half allocation because there's no travel. They're both in London anyway. And half allocation, you could keep. I know when COVID first started, I think I mentioned it on here, they'd done a study at the Emirates and they said they could have comfortably got, I can't remember if it is 15,000 or 15% of the ground in, socially distanced, 2 meters, no problem. The issue was that it would have taken them 3 hours to get in and out, because obviously everyone would have had to come in their 2 meters, and you can't have queuing all the way around. So they've had to come at their designated time, and then someone comes late and it fucks everything up. So even with like our severest the rules have ever been here, we could have got, as I said, either 15,000 or 15%. So I think where the rules have been a bit lax, that I think it, especially if it is two London teams in the FA Cup final, it would probably be two Manchester teams, but if it is two London, then I wouldn't be surprised if they do maybe 25, maybe 50% allocation for the cup final. But it'll all go to suits anyway. I'd imagine there'd be very few genuine fans there.
Ah, okay, so that rules you out, mate. Yeah. Why would you go and watch Manchester and Manchester, or Manchester and Chelsea? So we had two games during the week: Southampton, and then we played an FA Cup, obviously. Southampton, mate. How do you think we came out? We looked okay, and what lineup, things like that, you thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be the question of Aubameyang starting wide and someone else starting up front. I remember thinking at the time, and we're going back almost a week now, it was one of the most bizarre formations I've ever seen. And then we played similar again at Sheffield United with, it was like a back five, but then with the three up top still two really wide. So Aubameyang left and Pepe right against Southampton. And you would assume that they would just get in each other's way, but it worked okay with Aubameyang because obviously he tucks in because he's more natural in the middle anyway. It was horrible on the right-hand side because the Hector, Pepe and Ceballos, who was on the right side of the two centre midfielders with Xhaka on the left, they were just all in each other's way, or they're only 5 yards from each other. So it was really easy to block passing lanes or block them in. I read the stat that Pepe had more touches against Sheffield United in the first half than he did in his 79 minutes, or whatever, 70 something minutes against Southampton. But I just remember watching it line up, because I think we saw the team sheet and we didn't expect them to line up like that. And then when you're watching it and you see where the players are, and I was just thinking, I've literally never seen anything like this. And I mean, look, it worked, and it's worked two games in a row now. But I just found it really weird at the time.
Yeah, well, they put it, like, I'm looking at Foot Mob here now, and they've got it as a 4-3-3, and I'm like, nah, it wasn't. It was more like you described. The formation, it was strange. But that leads me to, I don't want to criticise Pepe, because I think he's got sparks of brilliance. I don't think it was his best game, but I'm wondering whether it was due to the formation.
It wasn't a good game for him, but I don't blame him at all. And this is not me protecting the golden boy or protecting the expensive signing. The amount of times Bellerin and Ceballos gave the ball away was insane. It was just ridiculous. I think they were the two worst players on our side of the pitch comfortably. And then with the spaces they were taking up, as I said, it was weird because Pepe was basically hugging the touchline. Whether he was supposed to be or not, we don't know. So maybe it was his fault. Yeah. But then you've got Hector as a right wing back who doesn't overlap or underlap really. And you just got them both in the same space. And then Ceballos gets the ball and he's only got one option because of their positioning. It only takes one defender to block two men. So then he's trying to force balls that aren't really there, or force a ball through to Eddie, which isn't really there. And it was just a real mess over that side of the pitch. And as I said, the other side, it seemed to work well because, as we've seen, Saka bombs on and Aubameyang tucks in. So
I think you hit the nail on the head with Ceballos. And, you know, you look on the other side with Saka and Tierney there, as well as Aubameyang, did just work really well. But Bellerin and Ceballos, maybe they just didn't really know what was going on or how to play that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, it depends what instructions Pepe was given, because you could put the blame on him for staying wide because Aubameyang didn't, and that's what made it work. He went inside. But then you could also say, what's the point going inside if Hector isn't going to overlap, which he didn't really do. So you don't know what they've been told. And also, I mean, Pepe, I think it was at the end of the first half, played a really good ball through to Nketiah, who snatched his shot and it went wide. And if that goes in, you're talking about, obviously, he's got an assist and was it really too bad? And this is why, obviously, assist stats don't always sit comfortably with me, because you can do everything right and someone can miss a sitter and no one ever remembers it. Or you can pass a ball 1 yard and someone beats 11 men and scores and it goes down as assist in the history books forever. So, look, he wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't his best game. And it's so frustrating because he was one-on-one so often. But we just couldn't really get him into the game. And, I mean, it is what it is. He got his 70 minutes. He looked fit. He looked sharp. Not your day. I mean, it can't always be your day. And it's what it is.
Oh, yeah, look. Yeah, yeah. And that's what I said. That's what I said. I don't think it was his fault, but I just think that he didn't have a great game. So, I'd probably get crucified, you know. You start slandering the golden boy and the big sign, and then people go, come on. It was great to see Eddie get a goal.
Yeah, and the type of goal as well. Again, it's not going to win any beauty prizes, but you close the keeper down and sometimes you get rewards. And it shows why it's worthwhile, because he could probably do that 100 times and never get anything out of it. But it shows the persistence and why you keep going, because it takes very little out of him to do that 100 times. And the one time it comes off, you get yourself the lead in the game that if it was 0-0, who knows what would have happened, because they, do you know what I mean? We're more nervous at 0-0. They maybe have a bit more confidence. And that moment completely changes the game. And this, obviously, I'm not going to call it individual brilliance, but it's just a complete individual thing. He's done that off his own back. He's got no support from anyone else. No one else has played a part. There's no assister. And fair play to him. And it's probably one of the reasons why he's in the side, to do things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I like it. He's a young player coming through, and he works all the time. You know, he works hard. He's put in a couple of mediocre performances, but I've had an off day. But he just keeps giving, you know what I mean? Like, he's not that, you know, your Pepe and Aubameyangs who are just brilliance and shines through on a big day. Like, he's a young player who just gives everything for me, and I like that about Eddie. And, you know, not saying that others don't, but sometimes you look at him and you think, you're really giving it all. Like, that's what I like about Eddie, and I'm glad he got the goal. But that leads me on to Willock. He comes on and gets a goal as well.
Yeah, and we were talking last week about scoring nothing from midfield, and then we get two in a week. do you know, it was and Willock, it's weird, because when you watch Willock, especially if you watched him in the youth teams or the younger teams, and especially when he was first breaking through, you'd say he has got the instinct for a goal, that he looks to get in the area and score goals. And it's weird, because we haven't really seen that in the first team so far this season. But that goal is a great example, where obviously the free kick goes into a wall. He gets himself onside. Lacazette takes another shot. Willock makes sure he's onside, but then he's also travelling forward to make sure he's first to the rebound. And then slots it in, and them finishes it's weird, because they're easy and hard. It's easy, like, just put it in that space in the goal. But when you've got a 6'5" keeper making himself a big starfish running at you, sometimes it's easy to lose your head and just slash at it. But he rolls it in, he does the job that looks a lot easier than it is, and gets his goal. But that's just that natural instinct that we feel like we haven't had from midfield, that he has shown before. And it's good to finally see it, and obviously good for him to get his first Premier League goal.
No, that was good. Willock, Eddie, couple of young players, Saka. This is obviously, it's not much of a choice, because we'll look at our bench. But these younger blokes are getting a run. That's good to see at the end of this, you know, at the end of this season. And we really haven't got much to play for this season. Let's face it, like, I want to see these younger blokes get more of a run going into these last few games. The FA Cup, though, coming against Manchester City, and we'll get on that a little bit later, but I'm going to talk about Sheffield United now, and I'm just trying to get team sheet up. The lineup was a little bit different, but Willock got obviously rewarded. Lacazette then came in. Aubameyang got the rest. That's where he seems to be focused on, Arteta.
Focused on what?
On the FA Cup with the Sheffield United. You think he might be looking at
I would argue quite strongly that it was a weaker team, and I'd made money betting on that it was a weaker team. I mean, you take Aubameyang out of our team, and we've been moaning all season. You take Aubameyang out, and you've not got much else left. And they did. So I don't think he's disrespected the competition. I'm not saying it's a seriously weak team, but I would say he's allowed rest to his what I call the first team players, where he can get them in. It seems, for all intents and purposes, that he fancies Hector as the first teamer, whether it be right back or right wing back, and he was rested. Aubameyang was rested. I mean, there was five changes. Kolasinac came in when he could have kept Holding in. I know Holding's match fitness is an issue due to not playing for so long. I think I wouldn't say that's where the priorities lie. I think he gave the players a rest that needed a rest. And if anything, the team was slightly weaker than a full strength team. I mean, he doesn't. It seems pretty obvious now that he doesn't see Lacazette as his first choice striker, and Lacazette started. So for me, that shows that it wasn't. You could maybe say a rotated squad rather than a weaker one, but I definitely wouldn't say that's where he's putting his attention.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm just trying to get an idea of where Arteta's going for those last few games. Like, we're still 10th in the Premier League. Okay, we're thereabouts in the. Where I say we're thereabouts, we come up against Manchester City in the FA Cup. So we've got a few hurdles. We've got a massive hurdle to get through, Manchester City. And then obviously a skip into the final. But I'm trying to work out also, as I look at these teams and I see a Lacazette playing in an FA Cup, and I think, okay, come the summer, is Lacazette... Oh, maybe I'm thinking too much into it, Tony. Like, is Lacazette going? Who's he preferring, and who looks like staying, and things like? I'm trying to read maybe a little bit too much into the team's selections.
I just think he rested people where he felt they needed resting. Obviously, Hector played all the games, and again, he'd been out with a long-term injury until January/February. Where he properly came back into the team. Said Aubameyang rested, Eddie rested, who again played 90, I think he played 90, or played a lot of the game at Man City, played against Southampton. So it was just the players that needed a rest, he was giving them. I don't think Arteta's really going to show priority. I think he's going to demand that we have enough in every game. So I think what he feels is his strongest whilst fit team is going to play in every game.
Well, I was a bit surprised to see David Luiz come in the FA Cup team. That was one I thought, okay, you played like a busted ass the other week, but I know you can't hold a grudge as a manager. You can't hold a grudge on a player, but I thought an important game... and then testing David Luiz again. Maybe it's just giving him a bit of confidence. I don't know.
I think a lot of fans they've seen what happened against City, and I said it last week, I think people have overreacted. If we're playing a back three, he's going to start. I don't see that as a rotation at all. The only slight change to that is that I said last week as well that me personally would be an audition phase for Holding. And I'd give him every game if he's fit enough till the end of the season. And obviously, he started against Southampton. He came on in this game. For me, if you're going to play a back three with the players at the moment, the only two options to play in the centre are Holding and Luiz. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow because, I mean, we don't know if David Luiz is fit. Obviously, he came off injured. But it'd be interesting to see who gets that spot in the centre. Even if it is David Luiz, I think Holding will play on the left and Mustafi on the right. I can't see the experiment with Kolasinac as a centre-back lasting too much longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, couple of goals there. Pepe got one and Ceballos, he got the other one. Oh.
Yeah, it's so weird without crowds. Obviously, I'm watching on TV the same as everyone else. And when Lacazette gets fouled, I'm sitting here screaming penalty. And you know, usually, like when there's crowds, like the whole of the Arsenal went, ah, ref penalty. But where there's no noise, and it wasn't, the players didn't really appeal too strongly. I'm sort of like, what's going on? I expect like people to be causing riots here, and it's sort of more like, oh, ref, can we have a penalty, please? Obviously, he's given it, and Pepe's took it well. He obviously froze the keeper, so he walked up slow enough so the keeper couldn't commit himself, and he's wrapped it in the corner. Good penalty.
I've only seen the highlights of this game because I was looking for it live, and I got no idea who has it on in Australia. I'm like searching through, and yeah, so somebody shout out where it is because I want to watch the City game, and I don't do no little dodgy streams, so. Yeah, so if you can shout me where to watch the FA Cup, good. At Gunatez, because I've got no idea. And then, yeah, obviously, Ceballos got one late, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like all heads down. I think it was the 88th minute where they got their equaliser. I just want to touch people. I think, again, people have been so harsh on holding for that goal. You've seen all game, and I know you haven't seen it, but the wind was causing havoc. I mean, Dean Henderson kicked the ball out of his hands, and the first bounce was on the edge of our area, and then it nearly went in. Like, Martinez was scrambling, and I think touched it over. He claimed he didn't, and we got a goal kick. But the wind was causing the ball to do crazy things all day, and then obviously for their goal, Holding's got underneath it and misread the flight. But I think he's caught the wind, and then Kolasinac, I think he's got to react better. I think he expected Holding to head it and then sort of switched off. And then when it's come to him, he's panicked, kicked it against Mustafi, and McGoldrick gets a tap in. But the wind was a big factor in that game. I've seen Ollie McBurney play about 10 million times. I didn't realise how good he is in the air. Fucker wins absolutely everything. He's... I honestly, do you know when you see players and you're like, they're half good at everything, so they're a handful because he gets a decent amount of goals. He's quite quick without you saying like he's electric. Mm. I always thought he was sort of half good in the air, half strong. And I was watching him. I don't think he lost a header all game. And I know people are going to go, oh, Arsenal's defenders. But look, I'm no Mustafi fan, but the guy doesn't usually lose many aerial battles. He's very good in the air. And McBurney was just winning absolutely everything. And in the end, the Arsenal players stopped competing because they felt like they were taking themselves out of the game because they were going to try and get it. He flicks it on, and now we're one defender less. So then they were just letting him have it and staying in shape. But, I mean, they had a few chances from throw-ons and corners just by purely because of his aerial strength. Their goal that got disallowed in the first 10 minutes, Lundstrom, really fucked me off because they scored the exact same goal in the league. Moussa scored it, but obviously it was onside and given. And I was just like, don't you learn? I know we've got different manager, but all the players are the same. Just fucking learn that this is what they've done against us in, I think, in September or October. But, yeah, I mean, fair play to McBurney. He was an absolute handful and probably deserved a goal on the day. But, yeah, they score them, and I think a lot of our heads are down. Then they have another good chance. Martinez makes a good save from Billy Sharp. And at that point, you're thinking, fucking hurry up and get the final whistle done. Like, take this extra time. At least then if they score, we've got half hour to reply. And I think the board went up for 5 minutes and you're thinking, oh no, what is happening? And then we have a counterattack. And I think Sheffield United lost their heads. I have no idea why they were left so short at the back. I think they got excited about the thought of going for a winner and completely forgot that actually, it's okay to draw because then you've got another half hour of being the superior team. Good counter-attack. Saka done really well. Eddie done really well. Pepe, not the best. I think sometimes he gets himself in positions where you know he's going to try and get back on his left foot and defender reads it. And then Ceballos, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's done excellently. He sold the defender. And then I think 99% of people thought he was going to play the cutback. Eddie had made a really good run. He slots it. It's poor from Henderson, and I really, really rate Henderson, but it's really bad from him. He leaves his front post open. There's a rush of blood. He comes running out when he don't need to, and Ceballos tucks it in. But I think that's the most I've celebrated a goal at home in in years, because I don't really like watching Arsenal on TV because it feels so different to me. Obviously, I'm used to being with however many thousands of people freezing my bollocks off and shouting and screaming whatever you want. And then when you're sitting at home, it feels weird to me. But yeah, when that went in, I jumped up, ran around the room, gave it a little fist pump. But it was also a bit bittersweet, and this might not make sense to a lot of people, but obviously, of course, I'm buzzing that we got the win and I'm running around my room celebrating, but I'm thinking, can I imagine how that away end would have been with a winner sort of against a run of play in 92nd minute up north where you don't get any credit for anything. There'd have been limbs fucking everywhere. And, you know, you kind of think, oh, what if? Like, of course, obviously I wanted us to win, but you just can't help, because that's the end we'd have been at as well. Like, that would have been the Arsenal end. So you just think, like, oh, that would have been, like, what a moment. I think it would have been one of them moments you remember. Like, you always remember last-minute winners because the celebrations are always a bit different and there's always someone that does something ridiculous and goes and hugs an old paedophile or something. I just wish that fans could have been there for that, or I could have been there for that.
Sitting there, sitting in the lounge room hugging yourself, mate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've run around screaming. The dog thinks I'm telling him off because I've gone from silent to jumping up and down like a fucking Donkey Kong. and yeah, it doesn't quite feel the same as running through three aisles and jumping on someone's head in Bramall Lane.
Okay. Who do I want to say? Oh, I want to speak about Martinez, his performance in two games, because we weren't sure whether Macy was going to get a start in the FA Cup last week.
I mean, I was praying against it. I didn't say I was pretty confident Martinez would start because Macy is shit. But yeah, he got his start and he's done well in both games, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The guy's distribution, just to touch for everyone, the guy's distribution is absolutely insane. And I've been going on about that for pretty much as long as we've been speaking about Martinez. He's sometimes I think he's a bit too calm and he puts other people under pressure when he doesn't need to, but he's kicking his top draw off both feet. But he's actually done better in terms of a raw goalie than I expect. He's commanded his box better than I've seen him before. And he's made a couple of saves where just I didn't expect that of him. Shot stopping is for me not one of his greatest strengths, but he's made a few saves, and there was one. I think it was against Southampton where he saved it with his left hand, and it was a really strong left hand, and he scrambled on the rebound. But there have been a lot of keepers, and a lot of times that you save that, but then it hits your hand and still goes in. Like if your hand's not strong enough, and I think he's done really well in both games, to be honest.
Okay, I was just reading. Yeah, Island boy Gurner said, for you Aussies, it's on ESPN on KO Sports, so I'll be tuning into that. Two games, two wins, put it down to Granit Xhaka.
I said this to someone the other day. Like, the stats will tell you we're a better team in there with him in there. And someone said to me, watch football with your eyes. And, look, there's a problem. And my reply was, if your eyes can't see we're a better team than when he's playing, there's a problem. we clearly, and look, am I saying he's the best player ever? No. But at this present time, we are a better team when he plays.
Absolutely.
That's as far as it goes. And I also think he's under Arteta. He's been less sloppy, made less mistakes. I mean, the problem he's got is there's still a lot of people don't like him, whether it be for telling fans to fuck off, he was right, or throwing his shirt, or just not being very good over the years, or making silly mistakes. But I saw someone, like, he gave the ball away, and then 20 seconds later, they get a throw on, and then they throw a ball into the box, Kolasinac boots it against Mustafi, and their player scores inside our six-yard box. And I generally saw someone tweet, fucking Xhaka again. Mm. And you're like, that's that reputation now that, yes, he gave the ball away, and obviously I'm not saying that's fantastic. But
as soon as he does something wrong, they're into him.
No, but it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't even have to. Like, he's done something wrong 30 seconds before the goal, maybe more, maybe a minute, and it's like, forget the 10 mistakes after him, but because people don't like him. And look, Ozil gets the same treatment. What game was I watching? We lost it and someone blamed Ozil. And I was like, he's sitting at home. Like, he's actually not even, he's probably not watching the game, but it's his fault. There's certain players that get that reputation, that, and Mustafi's another one. Whenever anything goes wrong, like, it's Mustafi's fault. It's just,
yeah, Mustafi. Yeah, look, and I kind of almost get the Mustafi one, but you've got to, like, let's face it, he's caused some really fucking shocking goals again.
Yeah, he has, but now, because people expect that, when things aren't his fault, they still look to him. Like, yeah, no, he can back off where maybe he shouldn't, yeah. And then someone else can get nutmegged and fall in their arse, and they go, oh, fucking Mustafi there, what a joke. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I know, man, yeah. It's strange how... Yeah, and I thought it was Southampton. Yeah, I thought he didn't. He had an all right game. I think he got a yellow by memory, but I can't. I'm just trying to think what that was. But, yeah. Anyway, let's move on. We do have some questions. It's not going to be a long show, to be honest. Like,
yeah, just before we get onto questions, if anyone is, and I tweeted this in reply to Charlie Shanks' drawing, I'm all for any Kieran Tierney propaganda. Like, I've been saying how much I like him since the day he signed, maybe even before he signed. He obviously got man in a match against Sheffield United. The guy is just exactly what we need. Like, he can get up and down. He's quick. He heads the ball. His crossing is very good. He tends to pick out the right option. He'll smash someone, and he turns up with a Tesco carrier bag. Like, what more could you want?
No, I do like him. I like him. I like him. He's good. So, and it's interesting to see what, and we'll talk about this after questions, because I want to pick your brain on a couple of transfer rumours and things on how we are looking at the team building for next season. So obviously,
you know your lot signed Mkhitaryan today.
Yeah, I've seen that. And we also signed Pedro, I think, too.
No, that's been done for ages, but he signed the 3-week extension for Chelsea.
Okay. Yeah, it was my birthday the other day, and then blokes say, how good were they? They give me $40 voucher for the Roma store. I thought, what did I get from Arsenal? Fucking nothing. Not even a fucking
I didn't even know it was your birthday, so I can't blame anyone.
Keep it quiet, mate. When you turn